Well, we've been in this series for a short time, The Harvest. The harvest is here. We've discussed how prayer and praying for the equipping of the workers, the laborers in the harvest, because the harvest is white and ready to be brought in. Likewise, we looked at some of the equipment that we have in order to be better harvesters, if you will, is the Scriptures. Our interaction with the Holy Word of God that He uses by His Spirit to teach us, to correct us, to rebuke us, and train us in righteousness. Oh, how we need the Scriptures, the Holy Word of God, to guide us and to totally remake us, resharpening our minds and our hearts. Last week we talked about the family of God, the church, and how essential it is to not just believe in Jesus Christ, but to belong to His body. Without the brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ, we will not make it in this world. God did not save you to be isolated from His family, but He saved you so that you would be birthed into righteousness and grown up and raised in a family of faith, a local, tangible, interactive relationship. Today I want us to look at harvest problems. Considering all the positives we looked at, why in the world would I bring in problems? Because anybody who's been a farmer for any length of time realizes not everything is sunny. Not everything is wonderful. Even being a Christian, some people come into the Christian faith saying, well, now that I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, my life will be easy. Has anybody here found that to be the case? Not a soul. And let us never promise that to those who are seeking faith. Oh, if you'll just come to Jesus, everything will be rosy and shiny and perfect. That's not the gospel. The gospel is that you will be saved from your sins and be ushered into heaven for eternity. But while you remain on this earth, there will still be problems. People will still hate you and things will still break. There is still sin present in this world, and we'll still get cancer and we'll still have all kinds of difficulties. God has not promised to remove the difficulties, but He's promised to give us the power to overcome all difficulties but keep our minds on where our future home is. So we're looking at problems today. Many people think that when they have problems, God must be mad at them. They think, well, I must be outside of the will of God. That's why I'm having these difficulties. Wrong. That is a wrong belief. Now, perhaps there are times when you're having difficulties because of your own wrong actions and you're getting the consequences. But have you ever considered that sometimes you have problems and it's the very will of God that you have those problems? There's a reason, there's a purpose behind them. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. We'll put it up on the screen. It says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you." Now, if you drop down to verse 19 in 1 Peter 4, "Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will." Actually, why don't you just read this entire verse with me, because sometimes to see it and hear it and speak it will help it to settle down into our hearts. So, "Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good." Do you realize sometimes you're suffering and it's the very will of God that you do so? You say, well, how in the world is that loving? Well, God has a purpose behind every problem that we have. He's working. He's not separate or distant or unaware of our difficulties. See, farmers know that there are seasons that are abundant, but there are also seasons where the rain or the wind or the sun or hail or the cold will destroy the crops and affect the harvest. Farmers know this. Every farmer knows that when, with all the work that they put in, all the labor-intensive early mornings, long days and late nights, they still are ultimately dependent upon God to bring the growth. Same thing for our lives. What I want you to hear today is that no matter what problem you are facing, God's purpose is greater than your problem. God's purpose behind it is greater than any problem you're facing, whether it's minor or major in your life right now. So I want to show you just a few things in Scripture, and we'll bounce around a little bit. Some of you have been asking, well, when are we going to get back to a book, just working through a book? And we're going to do that. Actually, 1 Peter is one of the books that we're going to pick up this year and work verse by verse. But for now, I want to just highlight some things that Scripture says about our problems. Now, the first thing is this. Problems are God's way to do one, direct me. All right. Sometimes God gives us problems to direct us in different directions. God uses problems to point us in a new direction. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 30 says this, "Blows that wound cleanse away evil. Strokes make clean the innermost parts." Now, that's some significant truth, but I want to put it in a little easier language here out of the Good News translation. It says it this way, same verse, but it says it a little different way. Maybe it can be caught on by some of the third graders in here. Sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways. Does anybody agree with that? There are sometimes it just takes some difficulties, some problems in order to wake us up and redirect our lives. And God uses these difficulties to direct us. Sometimes life gets uncomfortable in order that we would go in a different direction. Some change when they see the light. Most change when they feel the heat. The Bible has some examples. You know, Elijah, in 1 Kings chapter 17, he was told to go live by the brook, and the birds would come and bring the food, and he was getting this daily, and it was wonderful, and then the brook dried up. Perhaps he's questioning, well, what am I supposed to do now? It's time to move. When the brook dries up, it's time to redirect and go another direction that God is leading you. God doesn't plant you so you would just stay in one place forever. Constant, no growth. He provides and he says, I'm going to let this dry up and let you move on to another stage of growth. You have a bigger task at hand. And he did, shortly right after that. Jonah was told to go to Nineveh. But what did he do? He went the exact opposite direction. Nineveh's this way, and he goes, nope, I'm going to go this way. I'm going to go to Tarshish, and I'm going to catch a boat and go this way. But did God want him to go to that way? Nope, God had to redirect him. And so some problems came along. You know, they threw him out of the boat because there was big waves and things. So they threw him out of the boat, and he's thinking, well, good, I still don't have to go to Nineveh, so I'm just going to die and drown. God says, no, I'm going to bring you another problem. I'm going to bring you a big fish. He's going to swallow you up. He's going to digest you. You're going to smell like the worst that you've ever smelt, and I'm going to barf you up in Nineveh. And he wakes up, he had all the seaweed. All right. There are some times when God allows things to dry up in your life and he just moves you on. There are some times God has to swallow you up and take you in another direction. The thing about problems is that it never leaves you where it finds you. God uses problems for our good. There's purpose behind them. Rather than run from them, we ought to be seeking God in them to find out why he has brought this situation in our lives. We rarely change if we don't have problems. We postpone difficult decisions. At least on the male side that I've discovered, we don't go to the doctor until it's so bad. And then they go, why haven't you come in for the last 5 years? No, I didn't have any problems. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9 says, As it is, I rejoice. Paul's writing these folks who have problems, and I rejoice. Well, how in the world can he be happy that people are struggling? He says, I rejoice, not because you were grieved, having difficulties, problems, but because you were grieved into repenting, changing, going in a different direction. For you felt a godly grief so that you suffered no loss through us. There are times when God brings the difficulties to wake us up, to make us realize that where we are right now is not where God wants us to be, and we have to make some different changes, different directions in our lives. So God uses problems to direct us. So when these problems come about, you ought to be asking yourself, here's a question, where is this problem leading me? God is not absent. He's not unaware. He is all-knowing, all-sufficient, all-powerful. And he is bringing this in your life so that you may ask him to draw closer to him and ask this question: where is this problem leading me? God, I have this in my life, so therefore, where is it you want me to be going if this isn't working here? Here's the second thing. God uses problems to inspect me. Not only does he direct you, but he'll inspect you. God uses problems to see what's on the inside of us. I've heard it said that people are like tea bags. You don't really know what's in them until they're sitting in hot water. Some truth to that. Everything's all right until it gets hot, and then you're like, woo, then we find out what's really going on inside of you. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2. You shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what is in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. The context of that, God's writing, speaking to the Israelites. Moses has led the Israelites out of Egypt, and they're going into Canaan or desiring to go to Canaan. But while they're in the desert, God is saying, look, I'm going to test you to see what's really inside of you. Yes, every person wants to get out of slavery. Everybody wants to get out of the difficulties they had. But really, what's going on here? I'm going to provide some difficulties along your way to see what really is in your heart. Are you seeking me, or are you just seeking comfort? 7 times in the Bible, it says that God tested the Israelites while they were in the desert. And unfortunately, every time they failed the test, their time was extended. And for most of them, they never made it to the promised land. Even Moses did not make it while he was living on this earth to the promised land. Those under 20 did. Now, I do like to highlight that Moses did finally get to make it to the promised land when Jesus was walking the earth, and they met on the Mount of Transfiguration, and God allowed Moses to return to set foot right there. But prior to that, he was not able to go in. God was testing the Israelites. And you know what? Sometimes in our lives, difficulties come to test. Are we truly seeking God for him or just for the rewards he might give us? If God allowed our lives to be very difficult the remainder of while we're on this planet, would we still worship and follow him? Is he just a divine Santa Claus who's supposed to provide for us all these gifts? And certainly he could do so. Or is he the God we want to be intimately involved with and love with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength? Is he who we search after? Or is it just what he can provide? You know, it takes about 2 weeks to walk from Egypt to Canaan. And they spent 40 years and never learned the lesson. I wonder how many of us are keep circling around in our desert because we're not trusting God enough to move us beyond. Why does God test us? Because he wants you to know who he is, and he wants you to trust him. Has God ever used a problem in your life to test you? Sure he has. One of the favorite books of many of you is James, and you may know this verse well. James chapter 1. Verse 2 through 4, it says, count it all joy, my brothers, when. Now, I want you to notice that when. It doesn't say if, when, because it's a universal truth. You are going to have problems. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith, which God is trying to produce something from you, he will use problems to draw that out. Testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Oh, how we could embrace those verses and cling to the God who will be the steadfast one in our life to draw us to where we need to be, to grow us beyond the present circumstances. You know, problems are varied, it says, various kinds. They come in different sizes and shapes, and you can't schedule them. It's one of the most frustrating things to me. Why can't I schedule my problems? Because I've got some open time next week, but this week's just, I got too much on my plate. What do you do when problems arise? You have to deal with them. And God is not shocked. He's actually bringing that right on time in order to get your attention to inspect you. Where is your heart? God has a purpose behind every one of these problems. So God wants to direct us. God wants to inspect us. You know how gold is refined, don't you? High heat. To bring out the impurities of gold, they put it under incredible heat, fire. The scriptures speak of God using the same type of technique. When God wants to pull the best out of us, to cleanse us, to purify us, he turns up the heat. God may be using a refiner's fire on you at times. Isaiah chapter 48. Read this with me. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tried you in the furnace of affliction. Will you trust him? Look, if I was going to be dropped in a furnace, I wouldn't want to be there unless I was clinging to God. You remember the boys were thrown into the fiery furnace, and they came out pure. Why? Because of the fourth man who was with them. If God's going to put us in a fire, let's not run from him. Let's run right to him. So here's the question you need to ask. When you're going through a difficulty, as I mentioned earlier, where is this problem leading me? Well, ask yourself this question. What does this problem reveal about me? If God's allowed this problem in my life right now, and maybe it's a longer, extended period of difficulty, what is he revealing about you? What is he trying to draw out? He knows everything about you, but unfortunately, we are blind to our own inadequacies, our own inconsistencies. We have blind spots, and God will use these difficulties, these problems in our lives, to bring it to the forefront so that we can confess it and cling to him. Perhaps it's a lack of patience. Perhaps it's a lack of dependence on him, a lack of trust. Maybe it's a mixing of Christian righteousness with worldly desires and trying to morph those together. Whatever it is, God is going to reveal something about you in the midst of your difficulties. Here's the third thing. God will use problems to correct me. I've heard it said that life is a school and problems are the curriculum. Psalm 119. Verse 71, English Standard Version, says, "It is good for me that I was afflicted." Has anybody ever prayed that psalm? Maybe tomorrow morning this is where you'll go. "It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes." Let me put it in a different translation, New Living Translation, maybe it's helpful. "My suffering was good for me, for it taught me to pay attention to your decrees, to your word." When you're going through difficulties, do you cling more to the word or less? Do you get so distracted by the problem, or do you start looking to the Savior who will walk you through it? When Peter was walking on the water, hey, it was great as long as he was focused on Christ, but as soon as he took his eyes off Christ, he began to sink. When God brings these difficulties, it ought to be good for us that we're having these afflictions so that I will pay attention to him and his words, because he's the only one that's wise, only one who is strong, the only one who is gracious and merciful, and he will walk me through these difficulties and I'll come out greater and purer and more holy like him. Listen, we learn far more through our suffering than we ever do through success. We get prideful when success takes place. Suffering makes us dependent and surrender. Why is it that we learn some things only through failure? Why is it that there are some lessons we only learn through pain? I suppose it's human behavior, just natural human behavior. But God has developed us to learn through problems and difficulties. I mean, most parents will tell their children, "Hey, don't touch that hot stove." But what will happen? They're like, "What does mom know?" And they go and touch the hot stove. We learn through our experiences. It's far wiser to learn through the experiences of others when it's been difficulty, but most of us say, "No, I've got to do it all on my own," and God will allow us to touch some hot stoves sometimes and learn. But he does it to correct us. You know, there are some things we learn only by being burned. Principle of life. God uses problems to direct us, to inspect us, to correct us. Sometimes we only learn through the value, learn the value of something when we have the difficulty and we may lose it. We learn the value of money when we go bankrupt. We learn the value of a loved one when they pass away. We learn the value of a marriage by a breakup or a divorce. We learn the value of our health by getting sick or having something broken or getting some disease. We take so much for granted, but when we go through the difficulty, we learn the value of that particular thing. Why is it that we only learn the value through some things because of the difficulties? I don't know. But I do know that God will use our problems to direct us, to inspect us, and correct us, and even teach us lessons that we would not learn any other way. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7. It says, as you endure this divine discipline. See, some of the correction is God's hand disciplining us, not punishing and trying to separate us, but to draw us closer. And I want you to hear the loving language of this divine discipline in our lives. As you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children. Who ever heard of a child who is never disciplined by its father? Well, in our culture, you may have heard of those, unfortunately. But a true loving father doesn't let his child just run crazy, run off a cliff, touch something that will destroy him. He may allow him to have some consequences in a smaller spectrum. But if you see your small child doing something that will kill him, you will stop him. I mean, how many of you let your kids take screwdrivers and put them in the light socket? I did. And I'm still here to talk about it. But I didn't have a parent that was telling me because they didn't know. I was kind of hiding in my room. What could have happened? I could have been a Krispy Kreme. I mean, it would just been awful. And I said that. My kids are like, oh, we ought to try that. That's bad. Look, God loves us so much that he wants to discipline us, to correct us, to bring us back to protection and righteousness. So much of conversation I have with people that struggle in their relationship with God, or they say, well, I don't even know if I'm really a follower of God. One of the questions I'll ask them is, has God been disciplining you lately? Have you felt like God's divine hand on you that's kind of redirecting you? You may feel distant, but do you feel like God's disciplining you? Because one of the signs of being a true believer is that God's hand is on you and he will discipline you. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Why would a loving father let you destroy your life? He will put obstacles and barriers along the way, speed bumps to slow you down from destruction, because he loves you. He corrects you to show you the right and the proper way, that which he desires for you. If you're a child of God, you will be corrected. You know, I don't discipline all the neighbor's kids, but I certainly discipline my own. But I discipline my kids because I love them. I'll even look in this direction because I want them to. I discipline you guys because I love you. I discipline you because I want you to have a good life. I want you to find joy. I want you to be protected. I want you to be cared for. And because they are in my family, they are my responsibility. And if they do something wrong or they go in the wrong direction, I am all on it, whether they enjoy that part or not. I will give up everything for them. We've had things of late that I've just had to pause my schedule and everything I'm focused on to say, I've got to be right here, right now, in the moment with my children because I love them too much to allow them to continue to drift in a certain direction. God does that with you. God is never too busy to get in your face and to say, I love you enough to stop you, to tell you no, to convict you. And to say, I'm going to draw you back and show you where true joy and happiness is, where true protection is. So here's a question you ought to ask yourself when you're going through a problem. What is this problem teaching me? What is this problem teaching me? If God uses problems to correct us, how is this problem teaching me? When a problem comes up, you don't say, why me? That's a pity party. Rather, you ask God, what are you teaching me? What do you want me to learn from this? What do you want me to correct? What do I need to learn about you, about myself, about the situation? What do I need to learn about trusting you or knowing that you are the one in control or that you love me enough to be involved in my life and correct me? Listen, you don't know that God is all you need until God is all you have. Even in correcting moments, focus on Him because He is all you need. When we come to the realization, without this problem, I wouldn't know God and how great He is, or how much He loves me, or how much He cares for me, or how much He provides for me, we ought to be thankful for the affliction so we can pay attention to what He's teaching us. Is there a problem in your life right now? Perhaps it's revealing a weakness in your life to show some inadequacies, some inconsistencies. Probably there's a problem in your life that it's showing you something about God. What is the problem teaching me? Here's the fourth thing. Protect me. There are some problems in our lives to protect us. Sometimes problems are a blessing in disguise, that this problem actually prevents you from getting into deeper problems. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. We'll put that up on the screen. If we got 1 Peter 3? Yep. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. There have been people throughout the centuries that have faced difficulties of situations that they were having to make a decision whether to keep their job or to stand for their faith. We've had that just over the last several years. Throughout the scriptures, you see people are confronted, a crisis of faith. If I do this, it might be easier, but I'll be disobeying God, and therefore I need to be willing to take the difficulty that may be protecting me for something if I disobey. As I heard in a movie the other night that we saw, Jennifer and I, God's Not Dead 2, we got to preview screening, and I think it was there, it said, I would rather face the wrath of God. No, I'd rather face, well, what did he say? Oh, well, scratch that whole thing. If I can't think of it, it ain't good. I always hate telling a joke, too, and I forget the punchline. It happens to me all the time. All right, so I'll just move on. This is a true story. About 20 years ago, I was working for an organization, a Christian organization, that worked with finances, investments. Okay, I didn't do anything with the investments. I was a computer software trainer. Just worked for the organization, got to know everybody from the CEO all the way down to the janitor. I got to talk and meet with everybody. Well, one particular lawyer that was working with us and one particular accountant discovered some inconsistencies in reporting with their finances of the organization. And not only that, they saw that there was some money that was being misappropriated and misused, contrary to kind of our corporate documents of what we're supposed to use the money for. And so they, these two individuals that I was good friends with, they went in and spoke to the chief counsel, chief lawyer for our organization, and the CEO. And they were told, behind closed doors, you better be quiet about this or you'll be fired. Well, they made good money. They had families. What should they do? These two individuals, it didn't take them 5 seconds to figure out what they needed to do. They quit. They said, I would rather keep my integrity than keep my job. And they left. One of them moved back to Oklahoma. The other one began to work to expose the difficulties that were going on with the organization. And within a year, that organization, all the chief people at the top were put in jail. I was just reading about it last night because, I mean, it was heartbreaking to me. I had left about 6 months after that, nothing to do with the situation. We had moved on to go to seminary, but I knew all of these guys. And when it came out that the CEO and this great lawyer guy who would take me to lunch, I mean, he was a great guy, and he was doing all these corrupt things. It was the largest fraud of any nonprofit in the history of America. The two individuals who saw it, confronted it, and said, my integrity, my relationship with Christ is more important than my job, and they walked away from it. They had a difficulty, but the problem actually protected them from jail. What if they'd just been silent? There were dozens of people on the top rung that spent a minimal of 8 to 10 years in prison for this. $500 million of mostly church and Christian people's money, fraud and lost. God uses problems sometimes to protect us. In the scriptures, you see the story of Joseph. Been reading through the Old Testament of late, and the story of Joseph has come up, and you know the situation. He was the youngest of the brothers at that time, and he was the favored one of the father, and the brothers were so jealous, and therefore then they basically beat him up, and they were going to kill him, but then they put him into a pit, and then a traveling group of gypsies came by, and they said, well, why should we not profit from this? And then they sold their brother into slavery, and he goes on to Egypt, and they go back and tell dad, with the ripped up colorful jacket, the lion ate him up, it's so sad. I mean, what a dysfunctional family this was. All these brothers were different mothers, same father. That was some difficulties just in that. And so Joseph could look at his life going, what in the world? I mean, I was just the favored one. I'm the one having dreams. God's going to use me. And now I'm all of a sudden a slave working in Potiphar's household. And then Potiphar's wife accuses him of things. So he gets thrown into prison. And he spends years in prison. And everybody else gets out but him. And all those years, what is God doing in his life? You know what he was doing? He was setting up to protect Joseph and his entire family. But he couldn't see that all through those years, but he remained faithful. Joseph remained faithful, whether he was in the pit or in prison, until one day God raised him up to be second in command, to take care for all of the food for all of the nations. And his brothers, years later, come. I mean, Joseph was 17 when he was sold into slavery, 40 when he took over the kingdom. And his brothers, searching for food, came to Egypt, not knowing that Joseph was even alive, much less in charge of all the food. And they come, and as they interact with him, and then it comes to be known that this is Joseph. And Joseph said these precious words because he had a particular vision that we sometimes fail to have. You know, we look for 20/20 vision. I would say we need a 50/20 vision. And Genesis chapter 50, verse 20 says this. Put up on the screen if we've got it. Yes. As for you, Joseph speaking to his brothers, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. God had a purpose behind my problems. But God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. God was protecting all of us in the midst of the difficulties I had to go through. Would you be willing to go through difficulties if you knew God was protecting you from something greater? They could have starved and been die out as a generation if God hadn't made a way for Joseph to become in charge. So maybe you should ask yourself, how is this problem protecting me? How is this problem protecting me? Let me go back up to Romans chapter 8, verse 28. A couple of verses I'll share before we move on to the last one. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. In verse 31, what then shall we say to these things, even these difficulties? It is, if God is for us, who can be against us? You embrace that? Here's the fifth thing I want to share with you. The fifth thing. Perfect me. God doesn't just want to direct us or inspect us, but he also wants to perfect us. That's the entire goal of our Christian lives. Not only that, it says in Romans 5, chapter 5, verse 3 and 4, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that our suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character. And character produces what? That you can rejoice in your sufferings because God is producing in you a hope that you would never understand outside of having that difficulty. That he is perfecting you for something greater. He's making you like the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, he is working on you, and he is working in you to make you to be what you were designed to be in the first place. And he's doing it through the character of Jesus Christ and the problems that he is molding and shaping you. Some of you or a diamond in the rough. And how do you get the diamond? You have to, you take a little chisel and hammer and you kind of work around until the beauty, the glow of it. Some of you, you don't feel like it's just a little hammer. You think it's more like a jackhammer that's working on you. Why in the world is God continuing to beat all around me? I thought I was done with one difficulty, now I'm moving right into a season of more incredible difficulties. Why? Because God is still perfecting you even through that. Some of you think that it's been explosives all around you, but realize that God is not distant, but he is right in the midst of that because he's perfecting you to be what you could not be otherwise. You need to ask yourself this when God is taking you through a problem. Here's the last question. How can I grow through this problem? God's not just teaching you things or correcting you. He actually desires for you to grow through this problem, to become more like his son. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. For it was fitting that he, talking about Jesus Christ, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. Our model is Jesus Christ, who was perfect, but he came and took on flesh. And then through the sufferings, he brings many sons to glory. We already saw that in 1 Peter chapter 3. He's drawing men and women to himself, but he shows that salvation came through his suffering. That our perfection will likewise come through the suffering and becoming more like him. The problem that we encounter is not the problem. The problem is what our response is going to be towards the problem. The difficulties come, that's not the problem. God is greater than the problem. His purpose is always better than the problem. But what is our response to this problem, to our difficulties going to be? I want you to think of a problem right now that you're having, or one that you just got through, or one that you think is just on the horizon. Think about it. Perhaps it's a job situation, a financial situation. Maybe it's a relationship situation. If it's a relationship situation, don't look at the problem because it won't be good. But consider the problem. And I want you to ask in your own spirit, God, are you using this problem right now to direct me? Where are you leading me because of it? Are you using this problem to inspect me? What does this problem reveal about me? This problem right now that I've got in my heart and mind, what are you revealing about me? God, are you using this problem to correct me? And what are you teaching me through this? But the problem in my mind that I have right now, one that's overwhelming, are you using this one to protect me? How is this problem protecting me? What is even worse that could come that you're keeping me from? Are you using this problem to perfect me? God, I want to grow. How can I grow through this so that your Son, Jesus Christ, is glorified and I will be satisfied in the joy that you provide, even in the difficulty? Regardless of what you're going through, I want you to know a couple of things. God sees and knows what you're going through right now. He's not distant. He's not absent. He knows every intimate detail. And God cares for you and about that problem. God has the power to change your situation. So why doesn't he? Because he's more interested in changing you than he is changing the problem. He's more interested in shaping you than just removing difficulties. God's heart for you is to perfect you and to draw you close so that you will really know what it means to trust him, to love him, and prepare you for eternity with him. Let's pray. As I prepare to close our service and our band will play in just a few moments, I want to invite the prayer team to come up, those who are committed to praying for us today. If you've got a concern in your life, you just want to make some things right, or you've got a heavy burden, I'm going to have someone on my left and on my right that's going to stand up here and to receive anybody who would like some intense prayer. These people love God and will pray on your behalf, intercess for you. If you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, let me compel you. Don't go through this life without Him. The difficulties of your life are there to draw you closer to Him. Surrender your life to Him today. And these prayer warriors up here can certainly help you with that, or someone at the VIP table, or track me down. If you're a guest with us today, we certainly are thankful that you're here, and we invite you to the luncheon that we'll have at the conclusion of our service. It's at the Family Life Center. If you don't know where that is, go to the VIP section out in the lobby and they'll help you get there. But let's conclude our service today just lifting up our praise offering to Him and any difficulties that we have. Father, thank You that You are a God who knows, who sees, who cares, who is powerful, but You desire, Father, to be involved in our lives to shape us, even in the midst of all of the problems that we may encounter. Whether it is a financial difficulty or a health acknowledgement by a doctor over the last few weeks that we've got some issues we need to take care of, whether it's relational breakdowns or just fractured marriages or parental difficulties, Father, if there's some friendships that just need to be reconciled, Father, all of these things we lay at Your feet, and we ask that You spend time working on us, that You would correct us and inspect us and protect us, Father, that You would redirect us where we need to go. And Father, ultimately, would You make us more like Your Son, who is perfect. Father, we lift our hearts and our burdens to You. We pray that when we walk out of here today, we have laid everything at Your feet, and we don't try to take it back, but we just seek You every morning, every day. Fill us by Your Spirit. Let us walk in step with His guidance, and let us have the power and the courage to stand for Your truth. As we conclude today, go with us in the name of Jesus. Amen.